Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is May 16, 2013. I'm Catherine Alston Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. We've got two upcoming events, June 1st in Marin County, Lunch with Subscribers. There's still a few open spaces. We're limited to 20, so you can sign up at the blog. Then June 22nd in Warsaw, Poland. Subscribers from Germany and Netherlands are probably going to be flying over, so we are going to have a lunch. Tonight, Coming Clean, My Water is Wonderful with Dan Hillard of Life Source Water Systems. Believe it or not, this is one we've been searching for. We've read a lot of books and talked to a lot of people. We get many questions from subscribers. How do I make sure my water in my home is wonderful? And finally, we found somebody that that we're confident is going to do a great job of helping you with that. Artist@solari.com is where you send submissions if you're interested in helping us find artwork or photography for our new homepage. We would much rather use art from artists in our network than go to stock charts and Getty Images and the other sources of commercial photography. So if you're interested, we'd love to talk to you about sourcing artwork from you. That's artist@solari.com, and you'll hear from Kristen Linton, our producer. We have a new coin, the Solari Silver Round, and you can see a picture of the design up on the blog post for anyone extending their subscription for 1 year. We're delighted to send you a new Solari 1 troy ounce silver round. Money and markets, our theme tonight. It's so fascinating. The Buddha says, those who are awake live in a state of constant amazement, and this week was a reminder that when the powers that be want to round up trillions of dollars of capital and send it in a direction, they know how to do it, and they know how to do it quickly. So let's connect the dots between what's happening. Several weeks ago, we had leaks about $32 trillion of capital in offshore havens, all designed to embarrass the institutions and people who have that capital. Remember, it served the financial coup d'etat well to have that money moved offshore, but now it's being rounded up and is going to head back in a variety of ways into the securities markets of choice. It's also going to increase taxable income. So let's take a look at what this is. We talked in the second quarter equity overview about the importance of keeping the bond market floating and the difficulty of doing that. And one of the advantages, of course, is to begin to pump up the U.S. equity markets, and certainly that's what we've been seeing for the last 9 months, with markets really at having come up in an extraordinary way. That's not without tension. What you're seeing globally, and we described this in the second quarter overview, is you're seeing the U.S. and other central banks printing money, having that money float their stock markets up. That puts the companies under their jurisdiction in a good position with high PEs and strong cash positions to buy up assets and companies around the globe, particularly in jurisdictions which are not taking that kind of loose monetary position. So it's really the buyout of the responsible by the irresponsible. And that causes great tension in the currency market. So we're seeing central banks around the country now starting to print and doing the same thing. I had a report I talked about last week. One Swiss money manager said that the Swiss central bank had bought $85 billion in equities over the prior 30 days. So again, let's connect the dots to this week's stories. As we're watching the most significant capital shift since the bailouts and QE1, 2, and 3 have unfolded. And that's going to be a very big movement of capital. So following the leaks about the offshore accounts, we see an emergency meeting in London this last weekend. Oddly enough, it was G7, not G8. That means Russia got left out. After the meeting was over, the G7 announced an agreement to target tax havens. And please remember, Russia, of course, was the place that got most targeted on the Cyprus offshore tax haven squabble. So we see on Monday the Russians announcing they're throwing out a U.S. diplomat claiming he's a CIA spy. My guess is it's not unrelated to their being banned from the London soiree. Putin, no doubt, was irritated. We see the the G7 group again saying they're going to target tax havens. And what happens Monday morning? What a surprise. An IRS scandal promptly begins on Monday morning with the political appointee, civil service, and I suspect even the contractors being targeted. The job is to clean sweep the IRS and put in a new team. By Tuesday, the Attorney General Eric Holder announced FBI and DOJ probes into the IRS. That's probably not enough to save Holder's skin. We see wider scandals relating to Benghazi and spying on reporters. That may also be pointing to turnout. Holder, they really need somebody if they're going to do this, because this is going to be very big and involve many, many different, scores of different jurisdictions. They need someone who's even meaner and probably with an international background. It wouldn't hurt to have someone with an international tax background. That's certainly not Holder. So if anything, the lead of this should probably go to DOJ. So now by Wednesday, we saw the top folks at the IRS were out. By Thursday, an acting head from OMB is over at IRS. He's unlikely to be the new IRS commissioner. They're going to probably need somebody with more stature to do it, unless they have the whole lead team over at DOJ and use other teams at Treasury. Remember, IRS is part of Treasury. But what you're watching is proof positive that when government wants to move very quickly, they can. This is going to put them in a position to turn over lots of different parts of the infrastructure and get it organized in a way that they want. Now, targeting the tax havens, the goal will be to extend U.S. access, not just to data, but to jurisdictions, so that they are really able to encourage capital to go in the direction that they want and increase taxes as a result of commanding more of those flows. If you want to understand what's probably going to happen, it helps to look at what has happened in Switzerland and what the Department of Justice has been up to, what Julian Assange calls lawfare, extending the jurisdiction, to get a picture of what this may look like. After the Swiss example, tax haven institutions, my guess, are going to fall into line. They're going to be much too afraid to fight. Over the last decade, you've seen tax amnesty processes offered to both companies and individuals for those who stayed offshore and violated U.S. taxes, didn't come clean. This could be a very painful process. The goal, again, is to direct the capital, particularly back into the U.S. markets, and I suspect the number one target is the U.S. equity markets. You're also going to see tax increases or particularly corporations targeted for more taxes, but I think the goal here is capital controls much more than taxes. We predicted at the beginning of the year on the Saleri report that the tax reform that Max Baucus and the tax committees were working on at Ways and Means would not happen. There's been a tremendous effort by Baucus, who's retiring, and others to try and get that package done and get support for tax reform. What this means, this week's developments mean that package is dead, so tax reform is dead. With Baucus retiring, it's probably dead for a while. Now, the targeting the tax havens is not the only aspect of what this capital roundup is about, which shows you that what we're watching is very, very big. Time Magazine came out, it's up on the blog, with an article that mandatory retirement accounts for all employees is going to be proposed, if not passed, by the feds. They're targeting the amounts to provide up to 20% of retirement needs. How this is going to work, given the squeeze that of Obamacare is putting on both companies and citizens, I just can't imagine how the economics of this are going to work. It could be very ugly. Of course, everybody's question is this going to impact IRAs or 401ks existing? No, this is going to try and add to it. Think of this as increasing Social Security requirements, except the incremental money has to go into the securities market. In theory, depending on how fast this is done and how it's structured, it could add trillions more into the securities market. But it should probably work a little bit like mandatory 401ks. And we've covered those before on the Saleri Report. If you look at into the special Saleri Report lists, we did one on different proposals. You can find them on the blog as well. and I'll make sure those links are up on tonight's blog post. In addition, we see the House pass a bill, and this will be up on the blog tomorrow, requiring the SEC to publish the crowdfunding regulations out by October 31st. That also could add trillions to of fresh capital into equity. It will be private equity, but that's going to bump up and encourage more into public equity as well. So whether it's the tax haven targeting or mandatory requirement accounts or crowdfunding, what we're looking at is an extraordinary reengineering of capital that could both strengthen the U.S. dollar and the U.S. markets, both bond and equities. At the same time, this was quite a week, there was a big push to trumpet U.S. energy self-sufficiency, one article laying out all the arguments that the U.S. is moving to not just energy self-sufficiency, but to become an energy exporter, and that's going to re-engineer the global supply lines globally with a very dramatic impact across the board on the energy industry. Now, what's interesting is if you listen to our interviews with Jim Norman on the ARC oil card, the last one, April 2012, it's almost blow by blow a description of what we were discussing on the oil card. So we've covered this development on the Saleri Report and its potential impact on both the dollar and the economy. And if you haven't listened to that April 2012 interview with Jim Norman, it's well worth listening to. At the same time we're trumpeting U.S. energy self-sufficiency, a variety of pieces coming out saying the budget deficit is dropping, taxes, receipts are good, and the deficits are much lower than expected. Now, this is spin. This is not reality. The federal finances are in a very bad way. But on top of everything else that sort of got spun out this week, it helps to keep defense spending high for now while more dollars can be raised targeting offshore havens. Interestingly enough, and again, this is more defense of the dollar, I did a podcast on gold money that was published late last week and ran this week, and talked a lot with them about the goal of the podcast was really to talk about bitcoins, and I talked about the extent to which the central banks can control anything they want to when they want to. Interestingly enough, after the podcast came out, there's a great deal of hurt feelings from the Bitcoin group. What did we see? We saw, again, up on the blog, the Department of Homeland Security has exercised a seizure subpoena on the largest Bitcoin exchange. Perfect example of when central bankers want to assert control. They can, but if you look at what they're doing on Bitcoin, they're moving in and private venture capitalists are investing in some exchanges and then the Department of Homeland Security is attacking the exchanges that don't get investor participation, and whether the control comes in the form of venture capital or the control comes in the form of seizure subpoenas. What you're watching is the movement, nice of rough, asserting control over that marketplace. So across the board, what you're seeing is unprecedented political support moving in to defend and support the U.S. dollar and equity markets. The clear message is that Mr. Global needs the equity markets and the dollar to outperform gold and commodities for now. We certainly saw that with gold dropping as a result of particularly the announcement on the tax havens at the beginning of the week. The markets understand the extent to which this could swing capital from one direction to another, including out of gold. Remember, when the attack on Cyprus happened, a lot of gold was sold on the orders of the regulators. So, approaching summer, it looks like gold and silver are going to stay in the doghouse until they find a bottom. We had a great interview last week with Stuart Thompson of Graceland Updates and Franklin Sanders. We covered why we all think gold has yet to find a bottom, and we think it's likely it will this summer, but just not yet. And if you're interested, do listen to that Saleri Report. It's a very good one. Our hero this week is Senator Elizabeth Warren, who has proposed a bill in response to the fact that student loan interest is headed up from 3% plus to 6% plus, proposed a bill that students should get the same rate as the banks on the Fed funds rate. Now, that's less than 1%. It's 0.75%, so 0.75%. The bill has little chance of passing, But by proposing it and asking the question, Senator Warren has begun to teach a lot of students about the fact that the financial double standard is as ugly as it really is. This will no doubt be the first generation of students in America to know that there is such a thing as the Fed funds rate, let alone be able to calculate the full breadth of the subsidies the bankers are getting through the Fed funds rate. So kudos to Senator Warren. Ask Catherine, we have a few questions. I heard you interviewed on gold money. You spoke about the industrial uses of silver, which has been echoed by many. What I don't hear anyone talking about is the effect graphene will have on the industrial uses of silver in electronics, photovoltaics, etc. Do you have any thoughts regarding this? This is an excellent question. If you are not aware of graphene and sort of the new materials that are hopefully going to become available over the next few years, I would encourage you to go to the blog and type in graphene. You can pull up some of the articles. The power of these new materials is not just the materials themselves, but what they can do in combination with the new fabrication metals and equipment such as 3D printing. What this will do with silver is a very good question. I don't know, and I don't think a lot of people know until graphene is further developed, but I will certainly make an effort to try and understand it. Another question for Ask Catherine, I'd like to know about what resources may be available for learning about selecting a long-term care insurance policy. Great question. We've tried off and on to try and find good sources of information and someone to interview about long-term care insurance policy. Now that you've asked the question, we will put that back on the list to try and do so. Okay, so now let me turn to our interview this evening. As I said earlier, we have tried for many years to find someone to answer subscriber questions about how they filter their household water and how they make sure that their household water is of the highest quality. And after much research and talking with a variety of experts, we decided we would be much better off with someone who had practical experience and hands-on experience doing this as a business. And we finally discovered LifeSource Water Systems in Pasadena, California, which has been developing water systems for residential, commercial, and industrial application since the 80s, and had the opportunity to meet and talk with Dan Hillard, their director of marketing, who, as you will soon find out, was the perfect person to do this. So, Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the Solaria Report. For years, we have gotten many questions about this, and so we are delighted to finally have you to answer. Why don't we start with you explaining what you do, what the company does, and why you do it?
Okay, well, LifeSource Water Systems manufactures and distributes water filtration systems and water systems of all kinds for residential and commercial use. We started back in 1984, as you said. We've been building our systems in our Pasadena factory since 1984. One of the reasons the founder, and it's a family-run company, what the founder started in 84 was they were looking for an alternative to water softeners, something that was going to deliver a healthy and safe water into the home. And there really at that time wasn't a product like that. Basically, there's just water softeners and small little filters, and people were using water softeners thinking that it produced the good water. So that was really the driving force behind LifeSource, finding a clean, safe alternative to a water softener. And early on, we developed it and created the category called Whole House Water Systems, and actually even own the patent or the trademark for it. So
it's called, say it again, it's Whole
Healthy Product.
Whole, yep. Say the name again, it's Whole Health.
Whole House Water Filtration System.
Whole House Water Filtration System. I should just confess right now, I do have a whole house water filter, but not yours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe one day soon you will move up to the best.
Okay. So explain exactly how it works, what it is, how you put it in, how it works.
Well, the system is very simple, and that's really key. It is a granular activated carbon made from coconut shell. So it's a very powerful type of filter media. It's sustainable. It's made from the byproduct of coconut farming. So it's coconut shell. It's very effective for removing chlorine and other petrochemicals and many other constituents that in contaminants in water. It's self-cleaning. It requires no maintenance. You can hook it up to a house near the water main, a house of any size. We build systems that are for the smallest house to the largest estates in America. It requires no maintenance. So once it's hooked up, basically a handyman or a plumber can do this job. If it's in California, our factory installers usually install it in California and in Arizona and in Nevada. So then once it's installed, you forget about it. There's nothing to do. There's a timer. It self-cleans itself. And roughly every 10 to 12 years, you would replace the filter. And that's all.
See, I have to replace filters every 6 to 24 months, depending on the filter.
There you go. So that's what's common. Most people don't like to have to change filters. Ends up being costly. So most other systems, even if their front end cost is way lower, the constant maintenance and cost of other filters and things end up making other systems cost far more than ours.
Okay, well, one of the questions we got was for this evening is, will this filter out fluoride, and why do I want to do that?
Well, our filter does filter out a portion. Coconut shell carbon is very effective at about 35 to 40% of fluoride in tap water, of course. It happens or occurs naturally in water. It's also added as a federal regulation. Most people, especially customers of LifeSource or health conscious, they don't want anyone adding chemicals or anything to their water. So fluoride is also the type of fluoride that's used can even cause fluorosis, which is like a modeling of teeth in children. So most of our customers, if they need or want fluoride, they're going to get it on their own and get their own dose and by talking with their doctors or their dentist.
Who gets a water filter?
Generally speaking, the people that are looking for a product more than anywhere else are people in the Southwest in areas where there's hard water. And in the Southwest, where the water is hotter, you also find that municipalities need to chlorinate the water at higher levels because of warmer water temperatures. So the warmer the temperature of the water, the more bacteria growth that's possible. And so you'll find people that are looking to remove the high level of chlorine in their water, and it's so bad. In fact, many places in the Southwest. The chlorine is allowed to be 5 parts per million, and a typical swimming pool, the recommended chlorine level for a typical swimming pool is 1.5 parts per million. So in most cases, their tap water has more chlorine than a swimming pool. And when you find that much chlorine, you know, in your tap water, you're smelling it as it comes out the tap. It's hard to drink. It tastes awful. That's what really has people looking for a way to clean up their tap water, especially since bottled water is so expensive and it's a giant waste. So it's those people that are looking to get rid of the chlorine in their tap water.
You know, for many years I had a filter on my faucet in the kitchen, and then when I got the whole house filter, I can't tell you what a great luxury it is to run around and get water from any tap around the house and not even think about it.
Yes, it is. It is great, and it's healthy, too. The key to it also is that when water tastes good, you tend to drink more of it. And if it's convenient to get, like you're saying, in a bathroom, in a kitchen, it's convenient to get, you tend to drink more. And if you tend to drink more water, you tend to be more healthy. Hydration is a key part of diet, and many people kind of forget that.
You know, one of the things I most enjoyed about the first time I talked to you is I learned a new name for myself, a new label. I called Water Freak.
Water freak. You are definitely a water freak.
I'm a water freak.
Yes.
So, to explain to everybody what a water freak is.
A water freak is, and it's roughly about 12% of the population, people that are highly sensitive to water. They have a great taste for water. Many of these water freaks can tell the difference from different bottled waters to tap waters. They have a high level of worry about contaminants in their water. Some of them are worried about minerals and mineral buildup that's in the water. So water freaks are very sensitive to the issue of water, and they're doing whatever they can to make sure they have the cleanest water. And I think, too, that there's a level of peace of mind there, that they know that their water is clean and safe. And that's really a key segment of our audience and our customers, our water freaks.
Right, because before I had the whole house filter put in, I did all these different tests. And I have a well, and the water tested perfectly. And the first day I thought, okay, well, my water's fine. It tested perfectly. And I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, it could change tomorrow, and I would know. Because I was worried about pesticides, because I live in a farming community. And I just said, you know, I just don't want to worry about this. And this is the only way I'm sure. So off I went. Yeah. So if I'm considering putting in a whole house filter, how long does it take? What's involved? Walk us through the process, and how much is it going to cost me?
It depends on if you order a system from LifeSource, it's fairly easy. If you live anywhere outside of California, Nevada, Arizona, we ship it to you. And in many cases, we find a local plumber that we've been working with that would install it. And it, basically, it's usually in the garage or near the garage. And it
it's near where the pipes come into the house.
Exactly, right where the water main comes into the house or nearby.
Right.
It's usually in a concealed, safe place. You don't have to see it. It's roughly 5 feet tall and anywhere from 10 inches to 16 inches in diameter, depending on the size of your house. And and once it's installed, that's it. Except in the case that if you move. If you either rent your house or move, there's just a couple screws to disconnect, and you can move it with you like you would a refrigerator. So once
that's what shocked me, because mine is a huge contraption. I can't imagine unhooking it and moving it. But that's what shocked me about yours is it's when you said I could just keep moving from rental to rental. That's fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, as I said, it's those medium sized systems are 5 feet tall, and one is 10 inches in diameter. The other is 13 inches in diameter. For our larger states, we have one that's 16 inches in diameter. And they range in price anywhere from $2,500 all the way up to $10,000, depending on the size of your home. But the key thing to remember, too, is since it has such a long service life, it's been tested and certified. It has the longest service life of any water system built in America or offered or sold in America today, by far.
So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Instead of buying bottled water, if instead I just, I get a metal container and canister and fill it up with water from my system at home because my water's been filtered?
Yes.
How many bottles of water puts me at break even on getting the filter at home?
Well, I'll tell you what. It basically, our system, for our standard system, our water system costs about $30 a month. Now, you tell me. How much, for people who are buying bottled water, how much do they spend every month on a bottle of water? It's far, a family of four spending far more than $30. They're closer to $80 to $100. So you're making your money back every day that you have this water system. So that's how you have to think. That's how you have to think of it. And it's also, remember, it's like clean air or anything else. Having clean, safe water in your house is definitely worth it. And that's the key. So people who know this, who feel this, or deep down the water freaks, it's not a tough decision.
Right. Now, let's say I'm a young person and I just, $2,500 plus a plumber is just too much of a stretch for me right now.
Yes.
I can do filters on my kitchen tap. What about shower filters? Is it possible to come up with
if you're a young person and you have a family and you wanted to make sure you filtered all the water in your house, you have maybe a kitchen filter, you might have something under the sink, and you have two showers, so you have two shower filters that you might use. Those are going to cost more than LifeSource. And you'd have to change those filters every
right.
month or so. But their filters are very expensive. We actually offer them. And a shower filter, to buy one, is anywhere from $45 to $90. You need to change it monthly, and that filter change is $45. So
Wow. Just
you're going to spend more on these little tiny filters than you would on a LifeSource system.
Right.
So, people just, and sometimes it takes a while for people to kind of get that. You're going to spend more on bottled water. You're going to spend more on little filters and filter changes, water softeners, reverse osmosis. All these things require lots of filter changes, and they're expensive.
Now, if somebody wants to know how what is the practical difference to my health of having not just fresh water, but fresh water that I'm more encouraged to drink, because it's more accessible, et cetera. Is there documentation that proves the health benefits of this?
Well, certainly hydration is well documented. You've seen reports before where it's been said that 8 glasses a day is important. Although it's maybe not that important that you have those 8 glasses a day, but hydration is important. So it's good for health and skin and aging. So your skin is more vibrant if you're more hydrated. Your organs, of course, are in better shape. So to quantify, am I going to live longer? Am I going to have a healthier life? Am I going to reduce my chances of getting sick? I don't know that there's any proof that's available. But what we find is that people that are well hydrated, drinking water on a regular basis, tend to get fewer colds. They seem to be a little more vibrant. Women's hair, with our system, without the chlorine in the water, their hair is in much better shape. Their skin doesn't dry out because, remember, there's no chlorine. So
right.
your hair and skin are going to feel the difference right away. And that's what I found in our family. We started drinking more water. We had fewer colds. And that was that's one of the things I noticed.
Now, you became the director of marketing over 10 years ago. And when you came to LifeSource, were you a water freak yet?
No, I was a marketer.
Tell us the truth. So I want to hear about your personal evolution, walking in from a whole different world, coming into LifeSource and discovering this world of water freaks and learning about water. Tell us about your personal experience and evolution in all of this.
Well, I was in direct marketing. I was working for a direct marketing agency, and I was invited to meet the owner. And they needed help with their marketing, and I was hired as a consultant. And I right away started learning about it. At the time, I didn't know it, but my wife was a water freak. She loved water. She drank water all the time. So she was very excited. And then, of course, meeting BJ Wright, our founder, who's very passionate about water and the movement to get rid of water softeners and use water filters instead. So I just got totally engaged in it. I started studying on water. I started going to classes. There's water certification classes for water professionals. And I had to be totally involved so I could sell the product. And getting involved, is part of it. I did a marketing audit, and part of that audit was I called about 400 people and customers, and did like a little questionnaire and talked to customers. And 99% of the people that I talked to that had LifeSource loved it. It was amazing. And that's what really sold me on working for LifeSource. All these customers, when I called them and say, "Hi, I'm with the service department. Is there anything I can do for you? How do you like your system?" And they 99% said they loved it. And I was, wow, I got to work for this company.
How many of the new customers come from word of mouth through the existing customers?
I don't know. It's almost half. We call ourselves the most recommended water system in America, and it's true. We have, it's amazing. If you look at our website, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of photos of people talking about their LifeSource water and taking pictures
Yeah, I've gone through your website, and it's really funny.
It is. And so here's our cast of customers, and they're water freaks, and you never see anybody in any high-end products, you know, people, Mercedes owners or Wolf Range people, or, you know, hugging the product that they bought. And you see that, you see literally 400 people on our website hugging their LifeSource water system and then talking about it in words like it's a member of the family.
Well, I can understand it, because I have to tell you, there is an extraordinary, if you're a water freak, and of course I am a water freak, there is an extraordinary peace of mind that comes from just not worrying about it anymore, because it's taken care of, and you're just free to live. And I travel a great deal, and so I'm in a lot of motels and hotels where the water is not great. And it's after you get used to living with a whole house filter and feeling very confident and having very wonderful, fresh, non-stinky water, you know, traveling around and getting into a bathtub filled with, you know, stuff that smells funny, it's very creepy. And
It takes a while. It even took a while for people to get used to having it in their home, because they're used to never drinking their tap water, you know, and also never going to their bathroom and trying and pulling a glass of water and pouring a glass of water from a bathroom faucet. It literally took my family 2 months to get used to the fact that it's not going to smell like chlorine when you open the tap, and you could also get it anywhere in the house. That's pretty common.
Right. So now are all your kids water freaks too?
Yeah, we don't have soda in our house. We actually have, you know, and all our friends, they come over and they can't believe that the kids' friends are all, I have teenagers. And we use some natural water flavors, and they pour a glass of water with ice and put a little dash of this water flavoring, and no one has asked for soda at our house.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, so another question. As a former well water user, I know I can keep a manual well pump ready, but please speak to storing water. Stays good for months or a year? How long?
Well, well water is a completely different subject from municipal water. So well water that is pumped needs to really be chlorinated. So if you're pumping water into a tank, a lot of times that needs aeration, or it even needs chlorination. So we actually sell chlorinators, and that's key, especially when there's bacteria in water. And we have all types of different well water treatment systems depending on the contamination. But one of those for bacteria is to chlorinate the water and then push the water through the LifeSource system, which removes that chlorine. So the chlorine makes the water safe, kills the bacteria, then we take the chlorine out, and then it's great to drink. So that's what.
So you would recommend this for wells as well as municipal systems. It's just a different needs.
Right. In fact, what we require any person, any family, or that's looking to put a system on a well water, we require that they test it with a third party testing company. We use national testing laboratories, and we won't install a system in a house unless they have a recent well water test. There's
okay,
a lot of problems,
and what does the test tells you what you need to filter?
Exactly. It tells you what contaminants are in the water and what is necessary to filter out, especially if it includes nitrates or arsenics or bacteria. So if there's high levels of bacteria, arsenic, or nitrates, that's very dangerous water. And so that's why we don't want to put a water system on a house and have people think that and give them that false peace of mind, thinking that they're safe.
Right.
And if it has a high level of bacteria, which is it's not detectable by taste, or nitrate or arsenic, it could be very dangerous.
So step number one is to get the testing, whether it's a municipal or a well system.
Well, it's not necessarily required for a municipal, but it's not a bad idea. It only costs $200, and some families that come to me and say, Dan, prove to me that after it's filtered that this water is still really, really good. And I go, if you want that perfect peace of mind, send your test in. Sample your water, send it into the National Testing Laboratories. They give you a comprehensive 200 contaminant level test. So they'll test for 200 constituents. Everything.
So you would do it before and after.
Oh, sure. Well, for people that are still worried, I mean, I still have customers that say, you know, I get a water quality report from my water district, which is required by federal law. But some people, you know, I don't really trust the government, so I don't believe what they're telling me is in my water. Well, I said the only way to test, to know for sure, test your water.
Well, but couldn't the municipal system be fine, and yet I have a problem with my pipes and not know it?
Well, no, not necessarily. The only kind of problems you would find with pipes in indoor plumbing is lead. So
right.
If you have older pipes, galvanized pipe, for example, those clog, they rust. So if you have galvanized water sitting in galvanized is not good. You would literally have rusty water if you were to let it sit overnight or after a vacation and then try to drink it. Yeah, you would have rust in that water. But if it's copper or PEX or plastic forms of plumbing, there's nothing in those pipes. There's no air and there's no light. And bacteria can't grow in those pipes. And nothing else grows
right.
in those pipes either. So if it's a copper pipe system in your home, you have nothing to worry about what's in the water once it enters into the interior of your house. If you have other pipe, it's a problem.
Okay, so a couple more questions from subscribers. Is there any hazard of having bacteria growth build up in the large filter that is in service for such a long time, 10 to 12 years?
No. In fact, if there was, LifeSource would be out of business. We've been selling these systems for 30 years. We've had people have them on their homes for over 20 years. We've had systems water tested after 10 years in a home or building. We do commercial too, by the way. So we have lots of experience, 10, 20 years with our systems in commercial. We've tested water afterwards. There is no bacteria buildup or growth in a carbon filter bed. Some competitors, especially the water softeners guys, they like to say that there's a bacteria buildup, but there is no truth to that. And it's also known as heterotrophic plates. If you do research on heterotrophic plates, you'll find that there is no bacteria buildup in carbon.
Okay. So now tell us, one subscriber wants to know again, in the install area outside of California, Nevada, and the places you install, how would that work? How would the installation process work? And I guess you do Canada and Mexico as well.
Yes,
North
we do
America.
We have a sales office in Cabo San Lucas. But typically what happens in the other states is we have a network of plumbers who've been installing for us, and we give those phone numbers to our customers. Or you can just call your favorite or trusted plumber in your neighborhood. They come out and give you a quote. They would be able to install it for anywhere from $300 to $600.
Okay, so it's going to be $2,500 or $2,500 to $10,000 plus the install plus the test, and you know, certainly before and could be after if you wanted to do it.
Right. It could even be more. Remember that you keep quoting the 2,500, but that's our very smallest system. So
right.
There's a range. And so any home that's anywhere from 2,500 or 2,000 square feet to say 4,000 square feet, it's gonna be more. So
right.
Yeah, you need to be careful with that. But what happens is, at least with us, people come to our website, they send in a request for information, and we give quotes over the phone for people in those states, depending on,
okay.
you know, the size of their home, their pipe size, that sort of thing.
Well, I should have found you earlier, because I did 5,000 plus 600, plus the tests.
Oh.
And my house is 1,200 square feet.
Oh, yeah, so... Yeah, it sounds like yours is kind of complex. There's lots of moving parts there, it sounds like.
Yeah. Okay, another question. Hello, I looked at your website, and it said that I had to have a water test. Right from the indoor well faucet, I have iron 1.230, sulfates 54, and the turbidity is 11. I have filters from Aquacera, no electricity or chemicals, but need a solution for hydrogen sulfates, ? Any suggestions would be appreciated. I look forward to hearing the program.
Yes, we have a system. We call it our IMS. It filters iron, manganese, and sulfides. It's specialized for those. It removes them entirely. It's even tested and certified to remove those constituents. It works really well. It has a long service life. It's for the whole house. and we have a variety of different sizes. Again, if you have a well test that indicates that you have levels that exceed the recommended level or maximum contaminant level for those constituents, then, yeah, we'd recommend what we call the IMS system.
Okay. Okay, so what, tell us, Dan, what can go wrong? I mean, surely, all these years installing all these things, what are the things that go wrong with water filters? What do we need to know best practices to avoid?
Well, with ours, there's not a lot that goes wrong. A lot of times they get disconnected or unplugged because it has a timer that does the rinsing, and so that could affect that when it's operating. Carbon filters and small filters, what can go wrong is they tend to stop filtering before sometimes they're level because they channel. So generally speaking, with carbon filters, they're fairly safe. They're easy to operate. They don't require electricity. They work on water pressure. Other types of filters like reverse osmosis waste a lot of water, and if they're not, those membranes aren't changed often, they tend to not filter anything. So really that's the key. If you're not changing your filter often enough, you may not taste the chlorine or the disinfection byproducts there in the water, but they're certainly going to be there. So that's really what goes wrong. If you're not changing a filter often enough or making sure that it's working properly.
Well, I can tell you one thing that can go wrong, and that is you become a water freak and you become very excited about having peace of mind, and then you start telling your neighbors about it. Who are perfectly happy living in a state of denial and not wanting to have to learn about or deal with the situation.
Yeah. It really is. It's typical. We go into a house, a family calls and asks us to give them an estimate. We go to their house. In that household, the husband and wife household, partner household, one person is a water freak and the other is not.
Oh,
and
no.
The water freak can't taste the difference, can't even sometimes taste the non-water freak, can't taste the difference of chlorine, but the water freak usually wins, even if it's a husband or wife in a partnership, whatever it is.
Okay, now be honest, isn't it usually the wife?
No, the water freak could be a man, and very often it's a man too.
Really?
It's kind of
50-50?
It's 50-50. Yeah, it's gender-based.
What about generations? Is the younger generations more sensitive than the older generations?
No, our key audience is 45 and older.
Oh, so you have to live a long life before you realize my water is killing me.
You know, it's just that time of life where people go, I'm just tired of doing all these little things. You know, I got a water softener. I'm changing the salt. I hate that. Or I'm changing these filters. Or I'm buying a bottle of water. I don't want to lift all this heavy bottled water anymore. It's those people that go, forget it. I'm just going to go with the simple thing, get in a whole house, and be done with it. And that's what
happens. Right. Well, it makes a lot of sense. Okay, so if you were someone listening to this and you wanted to research this, what's the next step? We go to your website and start to learn more about how this all works? Walk us through how we, you know, if we want to learn more and think about this, how we explore.
Yeah, certainly there's lots of information on our website. There's lots of information that you could glean from university websites, nonprofit organizations. I would recommend those. If you wanted to get the most accurate type of information, don't go to other water filter companies, or even our company. Go to places that are nonprofit organizations. Take Back the Tap, for example. Go to Take Back the Tap. The Water Quality Association is WQA.org. You can find certified products and what that means if you go to the WQA.org. Universities that are doing studies on water and water filtration. The EPA has a great website. The Environmental Protection Agency has great information on drinking water and contaminants in drinking water. So those are the best places to go if you're going to research.
Okay. Okay, so let's say we've decided we want to contemplate this. Step one is to get a test, or is step one to come and... Okay. But if we have a municipal, then we don't necessarily need a test.
No. No. You have a water. You could look at your water quality report, which is delivered to you once a year by your water supplier. It's mandated by federal law. That water is that they are required to maintain or manage and monitor that water, usually on an hourly basis.
Now, if I don't, because I lived in a area where we had a private water company that provided the water. I've never gotten a water quality report. If you don't get it, you can just call them up and ask for it?
It's required. Any community, even if you're on a community well, which means there are 25 homes or more, on a community well is required to chlorinate the water and required to send a water quality report. So if you have not received one, maybe you're on a private well that has 25 or less customers, then you wouldn't get a water quality report.
Okay. So now if I want to get a quote of whether I get a whole house system or I get some filters, who do I call? If I want to call LifeSource, who do I call?
You can call me and I'll direct you to, depending on where you live, I could direct you to the salesperson or water consultant that manages that area of the United States. If you're in anyway, so you could call LifeSource at 800-334-5009, or you could send an email to dan@lifesourcewater.com.
For some reason, I would certainly also recommend everybody troll around your website, because it's very easy to go around. And I have to tell you, I love the pictures of the different water-free customers with their different LifeSource systems. You can really see the different places it goes and what it looks like, and you know, it's huggability and all those things. Anyway, so it's really easy to troll around your website.
Sure.
Okay, well, anything else in terms of thinking about getting a system or getting a system, what have I forgotten to cover or ask you that would be important to somebody contemplating this?
I think that you've covered it very well. You just have to remember that it's very simple. The concept of filtering water and the result that you get from the filtered water, it's simple.
Yeah, but Dan,
yeah.
I'm a water freak. Water freaks can make anything complex.
Okay. Yeah, you seem to have made it very complex for the system that you bought. We make it very easy, and once it's installed, there's nothing to worry about. So,
well, I was in Tennessee. I wanted to buy local. It was a Tennessee company. And wait, quickly, two more questions came in, so I have two more for you. I have an ultraviolet light on my well water. How does that compare to your system?
Ultraviolet light is designed to kill living organisms like cryptosporidium and cysts. And it's very effective if the water is filtered first, because if there's a high level of turbidity, those ultraviolet lights don't work very well. So first thing to note is, do you have cysts, cryptosporidium, like, and that sort of thing? And if you do, then they're effective if there's a pre-filter before it goes through the UV filter. So, you don't necessarily need a UV filter. We don't normally sell them, because between the systems we use, it's not necessary, but certainly UV light is very good at killing those type of cysts, and sometimes chlorine may not do it.
Okay. So another question. I've been told that you should not buy any filter or filtering system unless the company can produce a certified test showing exactly what they filter and what they filter out. How do I find this info on companies' websites? I've also been told that there is no perfect water filtering system, that some filter out certain things and not others, and what the most thorough system have more than one filtering media. Could you please explain? So let me just split them apart. The first one was, I've been told that you should not buy any filter or filtering system unless they can produce a certified test showing exactly what they filter and what they filter out. How do I find this info on the company's website?
Well, the key is not really to rely on the company websites. It's fairly common for many companies to brag about certification when they don't even have it. And sometimes they'll say that they have their components are individually certified, which is specifically against the rule of using certification. So if you go to either the WQA, who does the testing and the certification, there's actually three. There's NSF that if you can check for, you just look up like by company name or product name. There's Underwriters mm-hmm. Laboratory. If they have tested a system, they'll have the listing of the systems they've tested. And there's the WQA.org, which is where we had our system tested and certified. You go to the WQA and click on their certified products and just type, choose the manufacturer, life source, water, and you'll see our certification, our listing, our the gallonage that we are certified to filter for. And it's by far the most has the largest capacity for filtration of any system in America. So it's not on the company website you'll find the accurate information. It'll either be on the NSF website, NSF, which used to stand for the National Sanitation Foundation, WQA.org, or Underwriters Laboratory.
Okay, well, that's great information. Wish I'd known that when I got mine. Okay, so the second question was, I've also been told there is no perfect water filtering system, that some filter out certain things and not others, and that the most thorough system have more than one filtering media. Could you please explain?
Yes, we like to say there is no miracle in water, and that's what that relates to. And so the key thing is first to know what is in your water. So if it's on a well, definitely must have a test. The next thing is multi-stage. Some companies have systems they call multi-stage, thinking that, well, if you have all these different stages within this tank, it's going to filter out different things. And those do not work. So media, besides, they don't work very long because the workhorse on those systems is carbon. And if they put other filter medias in there, then there's less carbon, and so they don't last very long. Now, certainly, if you have a combination of contaminants in water, you might need to combine things like a specialized fluoride filter or a nitrate filter or an arsenic filter. Different types of filters depending on what contaminants in your water. And so to know for certain, the only way is to get a water test. And then speak to our company. What we do is we read that water test report, and we recommend the systems to remove the contaminants that are really there. So another thing to remember about water freaks, a lot of times water freaks don't have water problems. They have mental problems. Okay, so let me explain what that is.
Well, you don't know. To me, it's still, as a water freak, I have to say this, it's not knowing. You may not have a problem, but you're not sure you don't have a problem, and you don't have any way to know for sure, and that's what you're trying to do, is make sure you don't.
No, make sure that you know for sure, and not to worry about things that are not in the water.
Right.
And the only way for a real water freak to know for sure, even if it's municipal water, because even we deal with a lot of cancer patients, lupus patients.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that are in their water can really affect their lives and damage their kidneys or their blood.
Right.
So they have to be very careful with chlorine. And so we've done tests with municipal water after it's been filtered through LifeSource just to make them feel safe. And once they see those tests, they do feel safe.
Okay, well, I'm always defending water freaks. Okay, well, Dan, you've been very generous with your time. I very much appreciate it. On behalf of the Water Freaks of America, thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And if I ever move again, you will hear from me.
Okay, great. I appreciate it.
Have a wonderful evening.
You
okay,
too.
That's Dan Hillard of LifeSource Systems, and I'm a water freak, and I bet a lot of you guys are too, and I think there's very good reasons to be that way. And let's go to the movies. We had Water, the Great Mystery. It's a 2008 documentary. It explores, this is a very intimate look at water. It's not the geopolitics of water, which we'll talk about next time, but it looks at the very unique properties of water. A lot of interviews with scientists, including a whole group of Russian scientists on some of the more interesting theories and research that have been done on water. I find a lot of the material fascinating. One of the things it describes is the fact that the amount of water on the planet never changes. you know, it goes through a cycle, it gets dirty, it gets clean, but it's really a remarkable and very unique medium, and it talks about how much of our bodies are water and how that water behaves and how it affects our behavior both individually and as a society. And some wonderful interviews with the head of the Hato Institute in Japan, who's written this books and done the DVDs, Messages from Water. And you see the impact of prayer and kindness and other things on the sort of the behavior of the water at a molecular level, which is always very fascinating. So one of the reasons I wanted to recommend it to you is, of course, water freak. You know, I believe that water is unbelievably important to our health, and the dehydration is a contributor at the heart of many diseases. And so healthy water and good hydration, to me, is essential, not just for your health, but for your financial health, because so many of our financial problems come from our minds and bodies not being clear and strong, whether it's because we get sick and we can't generate an income, or it's expensive, but also because we're not thinking clearly and we're easier to trick and take advantage of. So so think about how important your water is to you and your family, and don't be ashamed to be a water freak. But I think Water, the Great Mystery is a very interesting exploration of water at an intimate level and what it means to you and me. And it will help underscore the importance of water for you. And it's very interesting and a fun thing to watch. It's something to watch with your whole family, because I think kids and grandkids would enjoy it as well. Okay, so that's it for this week. In closing, I wanted to just describe, we're going to a new format starting in the second week of June. This is going to be very interesting. What we're going to do is we're going to post our interview on Thursday night, the way we've been posting John Rappaport. So we're going to pre-record it and post it. If we have time, we'll try and get the transcript up, but it means we can get the transcript up faster vis-a-vis the audio. Maybe with Thursday night, it'll take a few days, but it'll be faster. Then the live Solari report on Thursday nights will just be me doing money in markets and doing Ask Catherine. I may talk a little bit about the interview, why it was so important, and then and that means that we can keep the live show to 30 minutes, because sometimes we've been going over, and I think very much some days people want to listen to the interview, some people just want to listen to money markets, and I think that will make it easier for you to sort of access the piece you want to and keep it down to a shorter time, because we're all busy. New scheduling as well, part of the new format. We've been getting increased requests to cover the housing and real estate markets, as well as some of the other asset allocation areas. One is cash management, fixed income, with talk of potential bail-ins. We have people interested in, okay, what's that going to do to my cash assets, and how do I position my cash to make sure it's safe? And then lots more questions are coming about venture capital and crowdfunding. So to make room for that, what we're going to do is go to doing precious metals every other month. So we'll be back with Franklin in July. And next month, we're going to do housing and real estate markets in that slot. Anyway, that'll give us more room to balance out for the other asset classes. And you've been asking for that, so we hope you enjoy it. Coming up next week, we've been looking today at water in your household, water at an intimate level. Next week, we're going to be talking about the geopolitics of water with arguably one of the leading scholars globally on the geopolitics of water, Norwegian scholar Tarjei Tvedt. And then on May 30th, John Rappaport is going to we'll post his recording Matrix. The Matrix is a covert operation. I was talking about limited modified hangouts recently, and one subscriber came in and said, could you do a Solari report on limited modified hangouts? And nobody does that better than John Rappaport. So I called him and said, hey, John, could you do something on limited modified hangouts? And he covers that in the one we're posting on May 30, so I think you're going to enjoy it. Then June 6th, coming to us from Japan, James Corbett of the Corbett Report on Open Source Intelligence. I'm a big fan of Corbett, and I'm excited that he could join us. So until next week, with Norwegian scholar Tarjei Tvedt, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.